Gar and I, as you know, as we sit here together and talk about this, we understand accountability, and we are accountable for what this team did this year. We don't run away from it. We accept it. That's on us.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
For me to be here in the NBA organization, such a historic organization, the Chicago Bulls, so it's just a dream come true for me.
Live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
This is going to be a process. You'll snap your fingers and it all happens at once, but that's the plan moving forward.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day. Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, along with the other host, Matt Peck. What's going on, everybody? Hopefully you enjoyed our interview with Stephen Noh of The Athletic yesterday. Obviously can't bury the biggest news of the day, in which Nikola Mirotic addresses the media for the first time in 6 weeks after Bobby Portis and him got into a fight. Talk a little bit about the Bulls falling to the Suns, continuing that losing streak of 6 games, and they've lost now 13 of their last 15 games. But let's get going. How are you doing, Matt?
I'm all right, Jordan. Isn't that refreshing? Some bad look news for the Bulls front office.
It's like clockwork,
like
man.
I feel like it's been forever since we've had anything like that.
I know, right? And so let's start here. Nico decides to address the media today, 6 weeks, roughly 6 weeks after Bobby Portis punched Nico in the face in an altercation at practice. This is the first time we've heard Nico say anything in terms of words coming out of his mouth and the media getting a chance to ask him questions. So run me through.
First time he could, his face was too swollen. Hey-o!
That's how this episode's going to go. I see how this is going to start. All right. So let's go ahead and there's a lot that Nico said in 14 minutes that we want to get into. So start me off, Matt. What should we touch on first and foremost here?
To me, the thing that is mind-boggling is that there seemed to be a large number of people on Twitter as I was following this interview and then the reaction of Bulls on Twitter after the fact. There were a lot of people out there who listened to this or at least read some of the quotes that were tweeted by, you know, Bulls PR or Bulls media people who were there at the interview and said, oh, hey, look, Nico forgives Bobby. Wonderful. Let's put that in a rearview mirror and move forward. No. Back it up, back it up. Beep, beep, beep. To borrow one from George, one of my favorite TV characters. No, this is not over. Did you listen to Nico's I accept Bobby's apology statement? Because it sounded like some of the most insincere stuff I've ever heard in my life. And it also sounded like he's still not talking to Bobby. There are so many divergent and sidestepping answers to questions about Bobby from Nico in that interview. And it sounds like they're still not speaking. And Nico is still pretty mad at Bobby. And I'm not buying any of this stuff about how he's forgiven him. And this is not over. This is still a problem.
So I think it's weird that he started the press conference off talking about, obviously, his recovery. That wasn't weird. But the weird part is before he started to answer questions from the media, he said he doesn't want to talk about anything that happened in the past. Well, Nico, the only reason why media people are giving you attention right now is because what happened in the past. I get it. You want to move on, whatever. But did you really expect media members not to ask you a boatload of questions about what happened, what transpired, and whether or not you two made up? So I thought that was right off the bat. That was weird. He was like, I don't want to talk about anything that has happened in the past. I just want to look forward. And like you said, too, the transcription of what Nico said during these 14 minutes and actually how it sounded came out of his mouth, I think are two completely different things. And you, as a Bulls fan, you need to go onto YouTube, find it somewhere on Twitter, and go and listen to exactly what Nico was saying, because it's a whole hell of a lot different than what's coming across on social media.
Yeah, and the Bulls also put the entire interview video on the Chicago Bulls Facebook page. You can go find the video there as well if you haven't watched the whole interview yet. Like Jordan said, I suggest you do. When Nico ended his statement by saying, before I take questions, I just want to say I don't want to talk about anything that's happened in the past. Obviously, he was alluding to the fact that he didn't want to talk about his fight with Bobby. Maybe Just throwing that out there. Maybe there's a chance he was also referring to his 3 years of basketball thus far in a Bulls jersey, which have been wildly disappointing. I don't want to talk about anything in the past. I'm talking about the Bobby fight. I'm talking about the fact that everyone in this town thinks I was a draft bust. Let's all focus on the fact that I'm healthy and almost back and trying to put a smile on my face. Now, I'm just being a smart ass. But really, to me, like, you have to read between the lines, and it's not that hard. There was very little subtlety in the way Nico was addressing this. And I get that he said he didn't really want to talk about it and then was, proceeded to be asked tons of questions about this Bobby Nico situation by the media. But that's their job. They have to ask him about that. And every answer he gave was either a sidestep or ignoring the question entirely, or an answer that made it sound like he's still really not over this thing with Bobby.
So let's start with the first question that was asked to him, obviously, in asking if Bobby and him had talked at all. And the even Nico Mirotic talked to the media today was last night during the Suns Bulls game. We saw like glimpses of Nico Mirotic, the first time that Nico Mirotic has been inactive, but with the team sitting on the sideline. Nico is there's video of when Bobby Portis knocks down a shot, Nico standing up and cheering him on, whatever. And then the Chicago Tribune snapped an awesome photo of Bobby Portis and Nico Mirotic bumping fists as Bobby comes off the floor during the game. But the funniest part of that photo is neither of them are looking anywhere in the direction of each other.
No eye contact. No eye contact whatsoever.
Although people want to say, oh, well, maybe this is over. You know, maybe they've reconciled. No, they haven't reconciled shit. And Nico Mirotic made that obvious and clear today when he said, you know, when they directly asked him, have you and Nico spoken together or have you and Bobby spoken together? And he said, you know, I'm sorry to Bobby. And he said, you know, have you said this to Bobby face to face? And he said, well, if he hasn't heard it now, he's heard it through you guys.
Yeah. So that to me, that's interesting. So the first question, have you talked to Bobby? Nico's answer was, we're practicing together. That's not answering the question. So, of course, the follow up to that was, is that a no? Is that a no meaning? Is that a no? Have you not talked to Bobby? And then Nico said again, I said, I don't want to talk about it. And then went on to talk about how he's focused on being with the team and getting better and helping the team. And so is Bobby. But I'm sorry, but those two questions and answers right there. Have you talked to Bobby? We're practicing together. Is that a no? I said, I don't want to talk about it. That's a pretty clear and blatant no. Maybe they had a nice little fist bump when Bobby came off the court against the Suns the other night, but they are still not communicating. And that is a problem.
And this is why I'm so fed up with this whole entire situation, this whole entire ordeal. Can I just get something off my chest really fast? Because I'm also in this irritated mood. So this is might how this episode goes. But why are we acting like Nico Mirotic is fucking Michael Jordan? Why is he getting all these special treatments from the Bulls? And why is he being like so delicate? Why are the Bulls and why are the media being so delicate with him? I know everybody's trashing him around the Advocate Center, wherever, radio stations, television, newspaper, wherever you want to go for a source. People are making fun of this situation. But why are we treating this guy like he's Michael Jordan here? Like he is some type of star. And why is he acting that way? That's what I don't understand. We are concerning ourselves with the comfort level of Nico Mirotic. Think about that. The Bulls are surrendering to the comfort of Nico Mirotic or Bobby Portis for that fact. So why are we treating this situation like it's involved with some type of star? Why are the Bulls treating it as if Nico Mirotic is some type of star for the Bulls? Why? Has he done something on the floor since he's been in a Bulls uniform that I'm not aware of?
Well, look, Gar Forman has repeatedly said, what is one of his favorite phrases? We value Nico. Whether it was last season before the trade deadline when they were shopping him and there were reports that the Bulls were shopping him, not successfully, but Gar essentially denied that, just saying, you know, we have to keep all of our options open and we have to look at all of our options, but we value Nico. He has always said that since the Bulls took him in the draft, and has been a big disappointment season after season after season. There should be no surprise there, Jordan, that the Bulls are making an effort to at least, you know, show support for Nico in the fact that this is a really unfortunate thing that happened. And the Bulls kind of let this happen because we've had multiple reports that they let this fester because the feud between Nico and Bobby was a long time coming. For the past two seasons that they've been on the team together, they have not liked each other. They butted heads at practice. They've had, you know, shouting matches, shoving matches. It was coming to a boil, and it happened. So the Bulls, you know, it's not like the Bulls front office and the Bulls organization should get any kind of pass for letting this happen in the first place, nor should they get credit for coddling Nico. But at the same time, I will say this. It's not like they are entirely coddling Nico and saying, oh my gosh, this guy's so valuable. We want to make sure that we're doing everything we can to help him feel comfortable and move this situation along. Because they also made it very clear right when this incident happened that Nico was not 100% innocent. They made it very clear that Nico played a part in acting as an instigator or an aggressor in this situation that eventually led to him taking a punch from the hand of Bobby Portis. So I don't think, Jordan, that you're entirely correct when you say the Bulls are coddling and overvaluing Nico, because they've kind of taken a firm stance on the top of the fence, straddling the fence, as opposed to taking either side this entire time.
So I get it. If this were to happen to a guy maybe like Jimmy Butler or maybe Derrick Rose in his prime or Joakim Noah, somebody that the franchise values, I get it. 6 weeks without talking to somebody and having to deal and dance around all these situations, I could understand it. But in terms of basketball, in terms of what Nico is valued to the Bulls, why is he being treated so delicately? And it's like, why are they dancing around this situation? And I get it. They want to. It's pretty clear now more than ever before that the Bulls are going to move Nico. And we've heard from multiple people that Nico is going to be the guy that's going to get moved, and that they commit to Bobby Portis. And I get they can't move him till January 15th, so we have to be careful with what they say. But it just blows my mind that this special treatment that Nico Mirotić is getting, and the fact that he hadn't spoken a word in 6 weeks to Bobby Portis, it blows my mind that this is the type of treatment the Bulls organization is giving a player of basically no value. I'll be brutally honest.
Jordan, I don't disagree with you that Nico to this Bulls team right now holds little to no value. I agree with you 100%, but I don't agree with whatever you're saying about him receiving special treatment. Look, John Paxson came out and addressed the media and said, we're, you know, allowing Nico to have this time to heal, and we're trying to be patient with him and accommodate what he and his family needs, et cetera, et cetera. This lip service, sure. But as soon as Nico was healthy enough to be back and practicing, or at least participating in some kind of non-contact part of practice, the Bulls made him show up because he is under contract. And now that he is getting closer to a return, they have integrated him into their, you know, their team drills and their scrimmages, because as a player under contract, he is legally required to do so. I don't know what kind of special treatment you're talking about, man.
See, that's not a Bulls thing, though. That's a Nico Mirotić thing. You think, so if Nico Mirotić said continuously, even after the 6 weeks, we know that the situation's different, but if he said, you know what, no, I don't even want to be anywhere near Bobby Portis, I don't want anything to do with him, they could suspend. I would assume the Bulls front office would have suspended him or fined him or done something in order because of that contract. Nico's not stupid. He still wants that $12 million he's owed. And if he doesn't show up for practice or for games when he is healthy, he's not getting that dough. So that's a Nico Mirotić thing, not the Bulls front office or the Bulls.
Like, yeah, I know money talks and money has a lot to do with this, but
it's all about the dough.
I don't think that has anything to do with your being upset for the way that the Bulls have handled Nico and the way that you say that you're arguing that they're giving him special treatment. What is Nico, because he wants to keep his current contract and get paid to be in a Bulls jersey, what does that have to do with the Bulls organization and the Bulls front office giving him special treatment?
He has
done everything that his contract requires him to do
because of $12 million that he wants in his bank account at the end of the season.
So what are you suggesting that they do, Jordan? What should they be doing differently?
You literally take Bobby Portis and you take Nico Mirotic and say, you guys aren't practicing another minute until you sit down and figure something out. Because this is childish. Like, look at any other... you could take high school players, teenagers, handle a situation better than these two have handled it. And from the whole start, it's a joke. It's a joke that we're talking about Bobby Portis and Nico Mirotic in this situation for this long. 6 weeks. 6 weeks.
Okay, yeah, I get it. I get it. And I think I agree with you in the sense that it seems childish that the Bulls front office or the coaching staff, nobody, Gar, Pax, Fred, Michael Reinsdorf, nobody, not even Jerry coming down from his throne, has come to these two, brought them into the same room and said, guys, we can't trade Nico until January 15th, even if we do want to trade him, even if we can find a trading partner for you. And hey, buddy, let's be realistic. That's going to be tough because your trade value is basically diddly shit right now. So I think what we all need to do is bury the hatchet. Whatever is going on between you two, deal with it. Yes, that's what you're saying that the Bulls front office should be responsible for doing. Is that right?
Yes, and stop doing it through the media.
Okay. Yes. Yes, fine. I agree. I agree that that's something that should happen. But they are handling it the way they're handling it. Maybe that tells you a certain, like, maybe that should tell you why they're handling it that way, because they're afraid that that wouldn't work. I know, like, these are grown-ass men and they're professional athletes, and you should be able to say, shake hands, get over it, move on. But ego is real. And both of these guys have an ego, and it seems like neither of them are really willing to budge. So what then?
It just blows my mind. Like, I think about it, like, the value that Bobby Portis and Nico Mirotic have to the Bulls organization in terms of basketball. I could see this treatment and the way that the situation is handled if a superstar was involved, a franchise player was involved with heavy amount of money. And I feel like the fact that it turned out to be Nico Mirotic with the $12 million that the Bulls signed him, and then not being able to trade him, and then picking Bobby Portis over Nico in terms of who they're potentially going to want to keep when they were given that quote unquote ultimatum. It's just a whole pile of worst case scenarios here, but it still blows my mind. Even if the Bulls can't do anything about this situation in terms of suspending the guy, cutting the guy, trading the guy, whatever it is, one of these guys, it just blows my mind that these are the two players that we're talking about. Guys that we don't even know if they're going to be impact players or be players that are going to be a part of this rebuild, a part of this future. And this is the coverage and the time that we're spending on two of these guys.
These are the two players we're talking about because these are the two players who got in a fight. Duh. Like, what are you... Bobby and Nico get in a fight and you want to talk about the relationship between Robin Lopez and Justin Holiday?
No, that's not my point. No, my point is the fact that, like, this situation has blown up so much entirely, and you would think we were talking about, like, Kobe and Shaq punching each other out, or Derrick Rose and Jimmy Butler punching each other out in practice.
Okay, well, so do you want to know the reason for that, Jordan? Because I think it's pretty obvious. We're all talking about this and everybody's obsessing about this because Bobby and Nico got in a fight. They wear Bulls jerseys. They are on a Bulls team that has just started a rebuild. It's a very frustrated and impatient fan base right now. And it is also one of the biggest fan bases in the NBA. One of the biggest fan bases in American professional sports. A once proud dynasty franchise that has been trying to stay relevant and... this season decided, all right, we're going to rebuild. And we're in the middle of a 6-game losing streak right now. We got the worst record in the NBA. It's not all that fun to talk about the basketball product on the floor on any given night. We know that because we're talking about it 5 nights a week. If there is something as dramatic as a feud and a literal physical altercation between teammates, do you expect that to not control the headlines and not control what the media is talking about?
One thing that grabbed me that had nothing to do even with Bobby and Nico in terms of their fights. It was somebody had asked him a question about Lauri Markkanen taking over the starting spot in place of that, and kind of Fred Hoiberg when he talked about how Lauri Markkanen is going to be our long-term starter. You know, we don't see anybody jumping back in and taking that starter role from him right now. He was asked about that and having to possibly play a different role if he does come back and play. And he responded with this. He's like, yeah, something along the lines of like, during training camp, I lost the job and I think that I can play and win it over again. That set off an alarm in my head and I go, whoa, 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 whoa. When training camp started, we didn't know who was going to start and none of us thought that Lauri Markkanen was going to start on opening night. And Fred Hoiberg made that clear during training camp that they didn't know what their rotations were going to be yet. But it was pretty clear and consensus over Bulls fans that he wasn't going to start on opening night. Now this fight happened, but my thing is like, okay, Nico just said a little tidbit that he had lost a starting job in practice during training camp. Is this going along the timeline in terms of like what guys in terms of like the coaching staff and the front office, what they're spinning towards the media in terms of lies? Because this is just another lie. It's like, okay, did any of us know that Nico Mirotic lost his job during training camp? I mean, that's news to me today.
No, I think you're interpreting Nico's words incorrectly. And I think Nico, as someone who English is his second language, has a tough time communicating. The quote is, the same way I lost my starting lineup in training camp, I could win it again. So I think what he's trying to say is, yeah, I lost the starting job, but I could win it. I could win it back just as easily. Something along those lines. As far as the phrase, I lost my starting lineup in training camp, he's referring to, he was projected to be the starting power forward. Like, that was the decision. As soon as he signed that contract right before training camp started, the first day, media day, it was like, all right, well, Nico's our starting power forward. He didn't lose that. He's referring to when he got punched in the face and sent to the hospital and was out for 6 weeks. That was him losing his starting job.
That makes sense. I guess I did interpret the quote wrong. And just from the way he had said it, I was like, oh, that didn't sound right.
No, the ridiculous part of that piece of Nico's interview is him saying, I could win it
well,
again.
Yeah.
Just like I lost it, I could win it again. No, sir. No way in hell. That belongs to Lauri Markkanen. If the Bulls front office has any lick of sense, they know that giving Lauri Markkanen time, minutes on the floor to build his NBA talent, to build his game, develop his game, it's all about youth development this season and evaluating that youth talent. Right, Garpax? That's what you keep telling us. That's what you told us when you traded Jimmy. That's what you told us on Media Day. Lauri Markkanen is the future. Nico Mirotic is not the future. If at any point, other than knocking on wood, hoping this is not an issue, Lauri Markkanen is injured and not capable of playing, there is no way in hell Nico Mirotic should be in that starting lineup and Markkanen should not be.
We're both in agreement on that, and I feel like that's a no-brainer for Bulls fans and for everybody else out there. It's like, okay, even when Nico does come back, what his role is going to be with this team, and who knows? We still don't even know. We still don't even know if he's going to... It seems like more so now that you and I are going to be wrong about this situation, because just from some of the statements that Fred Hoiberg even made today, he said, you know, Nico's going to stay back for a few days. We're going to see how he does during practice, and then we're going to evaluate and take it from there. So does that quote right there, does that make you think, all right, now this is potentially, we could potentially see Nico Mirotic suit up again alongside Bobby Portis at the bench?
I mean, it's altogether possible. You know, Hoiberg does a lot of different things with his rotation. It'll continue to move around all season long. I have no doubt about that. But when you think about the fact that Felicio has not played well, like not played well at all, and they're, you know, we are aware of the fact that at certain times, if he's in a bind, Hoiberg will throw Portis out there to play minutes at the five behind Robin Lopez. We could see a second unit featuring Portis at the five and Nico at the four. Assuming Markkanen keeps his starting job, which Hoiberg said he would. So you're talking about Nico and Bobby sharing the floor. Not just an awkward, we're going to, you know, bump fists while avoiding eye contact communication, but honest to God, you actually have to talk to the guy to call out assignments and communicate on the basketball court. And Nico did say as much. He didn't admit to having a conversation with Bobby, but he said, we're practicing together. So that might mean, at the very least, they are communicating in basketball language with one another. And if Nico comes back and is ready to play, and we still have a month plus until January 15th when he could hypothetically be traded, there's a decent chance you're going to see him and Nico, him and Bobby on the floor together, which blows my mind because I still don't think that that is possible based on the way that I don't believe anything that Nico said in his press conference about forgiving Bobby. I think it's bullshit.
It is, and that goes back to my earlier point. It's fulfilling the contract. It's trying to cash in on that $12 million and not end up in a situation where the Bulls are going to have to force his hand and potentially suspend him or fine him for not fulfilling those contract obligations. And the funniest part of it all is questions that he was sidestepping or he didn't really want to answer. He was also directing it, saying, like, you know, you can ask my agent about that. Specifically, one question when they asked him in terms of, did you give the Bulls front office an ultimatum that you have to choose between Nico, between me, or between Bobby? And he said, that's a question you can ask my agent. What do you get from that?
Yeah, that's weird. It's weird to me because he was asked the question in a few different ways. And I got to give the people who were at that press conference some credit because they, when they were told, I don't want to talk about this, they asked Nico a lot of questions and they were relentless. So it was initially, you know, has there been any change between the, has there even been change with the, it's either me or him ultimatum? And he didn't answer it. And he just said, you know, I'm just looking forward to getting back on the floor with my teammates and I'm working hard and hopefully I can, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then it was phrased a different way by a different reporter saying, did you request to be traded? Flat out asked him if he was requested a trade. And Nico's response was, I'm excited to be back, blah, blah, blah. You can talk to my agent about that. So, again, just like the fact that he said, well, I'm practicing with Bobby, when the question was, are you talking to Bobby? And then, is that a no? The follow-up was, I said I don't want to talk about it. This is classic sidestepping. And Nico, if this wasn't an issue, if the ultimatum of trade him or trade me was no longer on the table, why would he not come out and say that? If he is taking the time to speak to the media for the first time in 6 weeks, and he is asked that question, and he's okay, he feels okay being in the same locker room as Bobby, sharing the court with Bobby now, if he feels okay about that, then why would he say, nah, that whole him or me thing got blown out of proportion? That's not what's going on here. I'm fine. I'm happy. Bobby's happy. We're moving forward. Why wouldn't he say that if that were not the case?
Regardless of how Bobby Portis or how Nico Mirotić feel about this situation now, 6 weeks after it happened, I honestly wonder what it does to that culture, to that locker room, when Nico Mirotić is going to step into that locker room and suit up, if he does, which now from the quotes that we're getting from Fred Hoiberg and other people, it could be entirely possible that Bobby Portis and Nico Mirotić end up on the same bench in a uniform playing together until the point where the Bulls front office can trade him on January 15th or whatever the deadline is. Any other team besides the Bulls, do you think they handle it in the same situation that the Bulls have handled it so far, to kind of wrap this whole entire thing up?
It's hard to say. I think that there are strong, intelligent front offices leading certain NBA teams right now, and I think there are NBA front offices that are almost, if not just, as inept as the Bulls front office when it comes to handling this stuff and making out-of-their-ass comments like, oh, we're building a positive culture and you got this kind of stuff going on. Yeah, the Bulls front office has faced a lot of rightful scrutiny over the last couple of years, and in the last month or so, as they have bumbled to try to handle this situation. If you're saying hypothetically, if two role players on a different team were in a similar situation, would that team and their front office handle it differently? Maybe, maybe not. And I know that that seems like a cop answer, but how would you know? I guess like you can make certain comparisons, like Bledsoe and his situation in Phoenix, or, you know, I guess there have been other quasi-similar situations with players on teams who aren't happy and either are requesting a trade or demanding a trade or have a beef with a teammate. It's handled differently organization to organization. But I will say this. As much as you and I laugh and say this is a joke, and it's a joke how the Bulls have handled it, putting myself in their shoes, I'm not entirely sure I know how I would handle it. I think I would want to be able to say, I'd put them in a room and I'd say, you're grown men, deal with this and we'll move forward. But clearly easier said than done, because if it was that easy for the Bulls front office to just get the two in a room and say, shake hands, make up and move forward, that would have happened by now. And I think you can say that is true, whether it's the Bulls or a hypothetical comparative situation like this in any other front office. If it were that easy, it would be fixed by now, and it's not.
And I think that speaks to the level of leadership that, you know, not talking about player leadership, but I'm talking about like coaching leadership or front office leadership, just the presence of leadership and somebody who's confident and knows what they're doing and how to lead. Like that, I think is the biggest takeaway of it all, is it exposes the Bulls, showing that they really don't have any leadership. They don't really have somebody that's going to step in and make decisions and treat this a situation like this in a way that would be like, okay, that makes sense. And I know it's tough, especially with the restrictions on everything, like we had talked about with the Bulls pretty much showing that they would choose Bobby Portis over Nico Mirotić at this point. The fact that they signed him in August, late August, early September, and he had till January 15th to trade him. There's restrictions on what the Bulls were able to do and what would ultimately benefit their future. So I get that from that standpoint, but it just exposes the Bulls once again to showing that like the lack of leadership, the lack of cultivating a basketball team into a winning program or a situation where players are going to want to come in here and say, all right, this is a place I want to play. This is a place where I win. It's just another case of showing like what player would want to come here in this situation after they've seen this on top of everything else.
They wouldn't.
Zero. Exactly.
They wouldn't. Simple answer.
Well, that's a conversation that we can have tomorrow, because I'm not even going to get into that right now. But that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Remember, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, anywhere on social media. Find us at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls _ Peck, and at Locked On Bulls on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play. Anywhere you find podcasts, you'll find us. Go follow the Locked On Podcast Network as well on Facebook and Twitter. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. We'll break down what the Bulls did in their Suns loss, because we didn't obviously get to that today. We'll preview the Nuggets loss and so much more. But for Jordan and Matt, we are out. Have a good Wednesday.